Amen.
How about we read some verses together? Okay. That is 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read 5 through 11. And after we've done that, let us go back to pray, read verse 8. Let's go.
Amen.
Okay, dear saints, tonight I have a lot of feeling with this group of saints. So we're going to just kind of jump into it, into the fellowship. Now let me just say this, that first of all, if you're looking for some fellowship on marriage and family and the like, which are important things, very, very necessary things, but tonight is not the time for that. I do have actually a burden in me for some time now, and actually I've asked Mark to compile a list for me, and that is I do like sometime to have a particular meeting just with those who have gotten married in the within 3 years or so. I like to have a time just with you, to fellowship with you regarding marriage and regarding that sort of thing. It is very, very important, but it is not for tonight. Secondly, I would like to say that this fellowship is also, should be a complement to some of the recent fellowship that I think that took place, during the winter training. There was one time, mainly with the FTTA grads, I think mostly, right, present. And then last weekend, I think Saturday or something in Anaheim, there was also a special meeting. Both times, I think, with Brother Andrew Yu, and the first time, I think Brother Gerald Chen was there as well. And according to the report that I have received, it seems that fellowship, those fellowship seem to have struck a chord in a very timely manner among this age bracket. So the burden has always been in a lot of brothers for a long time, but it seems there's a bit of the move of the Spirit of the Lord. So I feel also specifically for the Irvine Church, which has a growing contingent of these saints, in this age bracket, or so-called young adults. And I just feel some need to have some special fellowship with you all. So hence this evening. Now, tonight, to complement the fellowship, in fact, from last Saturday, and if you were not there, I strongly recommend that you would get the materials, maybe, and even possibly listen to MP3 or somewhere. There's a site called livingtohim.com. You can get there. Right now, there's not much there, but at least there are these kind of fellowship in audio file format that you can download and listen to them. I very much recommend that if you miss those meetings. Last week, I was told that the fellowship was mainly on two matters, and that is leaking and drifting from the book of Hebrews. So as I was before the Lord today, I remember this verse in 2 Peter, where there are another two things, negative things in a way, right, that describe a wrong condition or a substandard kind of a condition of the believers. And these are the two words. Number one, idle. Mm-hmm. Idle. And number two, unfruitful. Mm-hmm. Idle and unfruitful. Okay, we're going to come back to that in a moment to talk about these things as it relates to, this group of saints. I'd like to firstly talk to you about the position or the role or even the function of you, the so-called young adults. I'd like to talk to you firstly about that in the context of the church life. You might not have really thought that much about it, or maybe no one have ever told you. But tonight I'd like to say something to you so that this matter is somewhat settled in your understanding, in your consciousness, that this is who I am. This is my part in the body of Christ. This is my role in the church life today. This is where I belong, okay? And I like to refer back to the book of Numbers. You don't have to read it. I'm not going to turn to it. But if you turn to go back to the Numbers, and I'll give you three verses, and you can write this down, okay? Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 47. And then chapter 8, verse 24, okay? 1, 3, 4, 47, 8, 24. You just go back and read them. Now, the book of Numbers is a very special book. It's a book of warfare. The history of the children of Israel in the wilderness, fighting, very much fighting their enemies, which eventually are God's enemies, right? And of course, these enemies were types of the various enemies, spiritual enemies, that we face today as New Testament believers. So that's the book of Numbers. And in the beginning of that book, the reason why it's called the book of Numbers, because it is full of a kind of a numbering of the children of Israel, you know, so many number of this kind and so many number of that kind. The original meaning of numbering has the meaning of mustering, you know, putting these numbers into companies for the children of Israel to move on in the wilderness as not just a people, but truly as an army. There is a military sense to it, okay? So in this book, in the numbering, there was some attention paid to age. Paid to age. Okay, this is my point tonight. It talks about the age of the people. All right, the first verse, chapter 1, verse 3, tells us that all among all the children of Israel, this is everybody, everybody, who knows how many, 1 to 2 million, okay? Among the males, all right, those who are 20 and above, there's no cap, there's no upper limit, there's just a lower limit, and that's 20 years old, okay? Anyone who is from 20 years old upward, have to participate in the military service. In other words, it's a draft system, okay? It's a draft system. You have no choice. If you are 20 and above and you're a male, you go fight. And there's no upper limit. There's no upper limit. Therefore, someone as old as Caleb, you know Caleb, huh? Caleb, he is Joshua's companion. He was still fighting when he was 80 years old or 80, 85 or 84 years old. He was still fighting because there's no upper limit. And he was strong enough, so he was qualified still to fight. Well, this verse tells us something of a general nature, okay? Generally among God's people, or generally in the church life, anyone from 20 and upwards can participate, and in a good sense should participate in this military service. Actually, we use the word military. I believe in King James that word military is not there. It's just a service. It actually, this service that we're talking about here actually implies a military service. And it also implies a priestly service, a priestly service. In other words, there are two sides to service. I like to even inform you of this point, that when we talk about serving, when we talk about service of the church, right, there's always these two aspects. There is the priestly service, right? There's also the what? which has to do with our worship to the Lord and so on. There's also the military service, which is the matter of fighting. These two are combined in one, so actually, even, let's say, preaching the gospel is both. You know, preaching the gospel is a fight. It is a battle. But at the same time, it is also a priestly service, and that is to minister Christ to people. But anyway, my point is, this is the first mentioning of the age, 20 and above. And all of us are 20 and above, right? In the church life. So all of us are qualified for this general service. Now, in chapter 4, verse 47, you have something different. This is a verse that is speaking to the Levites. The Levites now. Now, the Levites are not just any old tribe among Israel. The Levites are just a specific tribe called out or chosen by God to be what? The tribe that takes care of the tabernacle, takes care of the... And among them, you will even have the house of Aaron, who are the priestly house, the house of the priests. So this group of people, the Levites, are not just generally serving. They are those who serve more closely to God. They are the ones who are more at the center, right? They deal with things directly touching the tabernacle, which is touching Christ, which is touching the church. These are the Levites. Now, among the Levites, the age is different. Among the Levites, it says 30 to 50. 30 to 50. Only people within this age bracket can serve. All right. Before this, you're not qualified. After this, you're too old. In fact, there's another verse that I don't have here that tells you what those people should do after they're 50. They're not, you know, thrown away or just, you know, go to some home, right? Those who are 50 has a job. Their job, listen, is to, I use today's word, mentor the younger ones. Their job is to train or perfect the younger ones in their service. What younger ones? Okay, we're going to see this. But in the next verse. But just keep in mind, 30 to 50 is the serving age, is the serving age of the Levites who tend to the tabernacle. In today's, in the church life, what this means is they take care of the things of the church. They take care of the needs of the church, the services of the church, all the aspects and areas of the church life, and there are many. These people take care of them. Not those who are younger, not those who are older, it's this group. Now, we call this meeting 24, right? 24 to 40. So we're a little bit off. Really speaking, we should call a meeting from 30 to 50. 30, 50. Well, then you say, what happened here? Well, we always want to be inclusive, you know, to get more saints here. And if we get up to 50, some of you may feel, what is this? I mean, what are these geezers doing here, right? Or whatever. We chop it at 40, okay? But I'm telling you the scriptural principle is there is a group of saints in around this age bracket who are doing all the things. You know, you can read, they'll tell you what they do. They tend to the tabernacle. They care when the camp moves. They take down the tabernacle. They put things away. They carry them, and they set up the tabernacle. They all the furniture, all the utensils, all the things. They are there to support even the priests in their function to offer, make offering, and all these things. These are the people These are the people. Now, what is my point here? Brothers and sisters, my point is this. That this group, this age bracket, and I would say today, you who are in this age bracket, you belong to this group. If there is a group in the church life who should bear the main burden of the church, is not the older senior people, nor are they the younger, you know, college age and under people. Praise the Lord for them. They all have their function and usefulness. But who are those in the church who should be bearing the main bulk of the burden of the church life? And I mean that in all aspects, services, meeting life, gospel life, and you name it. I'll submit to you, according to the book of Numbers, it's those who are 30 to 50. That means it's you. It's you. Now tonight, I want to say this in a strong way to change your concept. Because I'm afraid the traditional concept is that you don't think this way. You think that you are still the sort of this younger group of saints that are just don't know what they're doing and they're not ready to do anything, they're not so qualified, and so on. But you're wrong. You're wrong. If you are within this age group, you are the ones who should be bearing the church. The testimony of the church is on the shoulder of this group of people. Now I'm recalling myself, okay, a little bit. I started doing this, my goodness, not 30. From a good conscience, I can testify, bearing the burden of the church. I tell you, in my 20s, in my early 20s, you know, although I'm not physically at that age, but spiritually, I believe I was at that age. I was bearing, along with others, not just by myself. I mean, I have such a sense of ownership of burdens of the church. Not all areas, but certain areas allotted to me. Or certain areas that I picked up. I just have such a clear sense of commission that this is commission to me. And I have to bear this. I'm not a little kid anymore. I have to do what I should do in the church life. That was my sensation. So by the time I was not even 30, by the time I was late 20s, I actually took the lead in a church in Costa Mesa. You know, in Costa Mesa there? And started the church. You came to Irvine. You know, we all came from Huntington Beach, by the way. That's sort of our grandma, you know, Huntington Beach. He came to Irvine. I went to Costa Mesa. Some went to Cypress. Some went to Fullerton, you see, and some went to Long Beach. You know, we pretty much bled Huntington Beach white, you know, in those days. No joke. I mean, we all went. And so I ended up in Costa Mesa, and there was nobody else there. I shouldn't say there's nobody else there, but anyway, the burden is on my shoulder. And so I was there bearing the burden. Dave Yao was there, right? And others. So at the age of 26, I started doing that. That is not just an area of the church, that's the whole church. That's the whole church. A little church, but the whole church. Now you may say, well, Minor Chen, you have some capacity or you're gifted or something. Forget about that. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about the sense of burden. I'm talking about the sense of commission at that age. And tonight, the first thing I want to do is to infuse you and inform you to this fact that you are the variously called the waist, the torso, the trunk of the body. If the church is a body, there needs to be a trunk. You're not the heart, okay? You're not the brain. The brain is of Christ, right? But you are the trunk, that middle part of this body that actually dictates the major movements of this body. You take away this trunk, there's almost like no body left, right? You, brothers and sisters, are the trunk, the waist of the body. When this waist turns, I tell you, the whole body turns. When this waist moves, the whole body moves. And in the same token, when this waist is not functioning, nothing is working. Dear saints, it's you. Are you getting it? It's not the older saints. It's you. You are the ones. How the church will fare depends on you. How the church will be held up depends on you. How all the things of this tabernacle will be tended to depends on you. Absolutely. And I want to say this strongly. I want to say it matter-of-factly. And I'm not saying this to make you feel good. Okay, tonight I'm going to raise your self-esteem, all right? Okay? Make you feel good. Absolutely not. I'm telling the truth. I believe it. I experience it. And I expect it. I would say the Lord expects this of you to be such in the church life. All right. Now, let me quickly go to the last verse, 8:24. 8:24 talks about yet another subgroup. And that's talking about people 25 to 30. There's a group 25 to 30. They're not 20, they're not 30. They're 25 to 30, 5 years. What are these group doing? These people, it says, they also serve. But if you read the context, you will be very clear that those who are 25 to 30 are what you and I call apprentices. They are those who are learning to serve. And in fact, these over 50 that I just mentioned are the mentors of this group. You see? To train, to educate, to perfect them, to ready them so that at age 30, they can start to serve. By the way, age 30 is scriptural, and that's why the Lord Jesus came out at age 30 to minister. He didn't minister. He lived for 30 years without ministering. So he was a true Levite, and he was a real priest. Okay? So at 30, they start. Before 30, there is an apprenticeship. That is not bad. I really like that. Now, today, tonight, we have from 25 upwards. So even if you are not 30 yet tonight, by physical age, you are still at least an apprentice to get ready for your service at age 30. At least that much. But whether we're apprentice or we're full-fledged serving ones, we're all part of this waist or part of this middle part, this most important part of the body that holds up the body and where many limbs and things hang off, and also it dictates even the direction of the body. You see? And that's you. And tonight I like to just say this word, it is you. It is no one else. Don't look left or right. It is no one else. It is you. Now, dear saints, I find in my human life, and I observe others as well, and this is a principle, you know, how you conduct yourself or how you behave yourself altogether depends how you esteem yourself or how you regard yourself, all right? So if you say, well, I am nobody. I am not qualified. I am I just don't have it. If you keep saying this to yourself, pretty soon your actions, you will act that out. You will just simply live that way. So people who have inferiority complex, people who have you know what I'm saying, eventually they act that out, they live that out, their life is that way. What we think of ourselves, and I don't mean this in a natural way or in a fallen way, I mean this in a renewed way, in a proper way. What we think of ourselves, okay, dictates, brothers and sisters, our action, dictates our behavior. And so in the church life, what you think about yourself determines how you will serve, how you will serve. Now, if I think that that I'm not so necessary, I don't have any idea that I'm the trunk of the church or the waist of the church, I think probably when I get to 50, then I'll start to be useful to the Lord. If you think this way, you know what you'll do? You can not come to the meeting and not feel bad, because I'm not needed. I'm not qualified. I'm not so good. The church doesn't really need me. It's on the old people's shoulders. When you don't prophesy, you feel, it's okay, you know, I'm not there yet. I'm not qualified. Because you think that way, and you act out that way. When the church has a need, well, it's not me yet. I'm not there yet. Someone else is ready. I'm just a little toe. I'm a little finger or fingernails or... Please. You keep thinking that way, and eventually you believe that, and you act that way. But if today you realize, no, I am the waste, or part of the waste. I'm 30 to 50, and the Bible says the burden is on our shoulders. I tell you, when there's a call, when there's a need, my goodness, that's me. Right here, it's me. If it's not me, it's no one else. You know, report to duty. You know what I mean? Because you have that thought. You have that understanding. You have that concept in consciousness within you. I very, very much, I'm laboring on this point here, I know, to change your mind, to put within you a new concept of things, which is a divine one. I really, really hope we will cast off the natural thought and the common thought. You are the middle part. You are the waste of the church life. Without you, the church will be wasteless and trunkless. With you, and with you functioning as such, I tell you, the church will just be, the church will be like this, just, my goodness, solid, whatever direction is turned. Say, nowadays we say the church has a burden, right? We're going to study the truth. We're going to pursue the truth, all of that, right? You say, we are the waste. We are the ones who have to do it first. I tell you, the whole church will just go that way. But if the elders are here jumping up and down, you know, read the Bible, you know, we're reading it, you know. Sure, you're an elder, you better read it, you know. If you read it, why are you an elder? It doesn't matter, you know. Wrong. I tell you, the church won't move. No matter what the elders do, how loud the elders shout, nothing happens. Boy, I mean, if you all would take it and rise to the occasion and says, this is our service, and we will do it. In fact, you'll take the lead. You will form groups. You will charge one another. I tell you, the whole church will turn with you. The whole church will be, you know, what is it called? The camp, ready to move. What is it? What is it called? Yeah, ready to move. The camp is ready to move, you know, move on. I tell you, let's pick up the things. You know, you start picking up, and all of you picking up the things. The tabernacle is coming down, and all the tribes will start putting down their things and follow. Because you all know that, because the tabernacle is in the lead. You know, even with the ark is in the lead with the priests, and the whole nation of Israel follow them. But again, I say, who? These are the 30 to 50 Levites. And brothers and sisters, tonight I'm so burdened that you all realize you are
a 30 to 50 year old New Testament Levite. Amen. Of the church of God.
Amen.
You are. You really are. It is not us, not me, not him. We have our job to do. Don't worry. Okay? It is not those who are over at UCI campus. They have their job to do, or the young people. Don't worry. But my goodness, I mean, the church today, we are blessed with an increased number and ranks of your age group. What a blessing.
I was saying,
what a blessing to the Lord's recovery. But if all these ones are laying down there and not doing the job and not realizing their call, their vocation at this 20 years' time, I tell you, it's lying waste. The church is not benefiting from you, from your function. So tonight I like to impart this into you, infuse you, burden you with this matter. All right? Okay?
Amen.
Now, and if you're 25 to 30, it is apprentice. You know, we have this apprenticeship program in Austin. That's pretty, that is a quite scriptural. So you go to you graduate from the college, you go to 2 years full-time training. That is part of an apprentice. After that, you still have to apprentice further. At age 30, my goodness, you are ready to be a bona fide serving one in the church. The main bulk, listen, the main bulk of the burden of the church, spiritual and physical or Levitical, should fall squarely on your shoulders. And you can do it. You absolutely can do it. You're not totally mature. You're not that senior, yes. You're not full grown, yes, but I will tell you, as far as the services of the church, you are the ones. You are the ones. Okay, now, tonight, having said that, I would like to come to this thing in Peter. Now, I'm not going to expound this passage. I want to just use it to share something with you, even to follow up last Saturday's fellowship. You know, last Saturday, I believe the brothers share, based on Watchman Nee, that the two problems with Christians is, one is leaking, things leaking away, right? The other is drifting, meaning directionless, going nowhere. And this drifting and leaking is mentioned in Hebrew in a way of warning, you know, in a way of warning, lest we drift, lest these things leak away, you see. In other words, it is highly possible, brothers and sisters, we can live a leaking Christian life and a directionless, drifting Christian life. Now, if you go read some of these things and listen to that that word, you become touched. You'll be very touched by it. Now tonight, I'd like to say this word to you all, that there are two other things by Peter this time, not by Paul, that are absolutely killers. Absolutely killers. Number one, Idleness. Number two, fruitlessness. And I'm going to explain a little bit here. Okay. That word idle there, the word idle in Greek means unworking or not working. It means inoperative. Okay? So the meaning of this word would be inoperative, I use various different adjectives here, useless, no positive function, unprofitable, unoccupied, unemployed, All these are the meanings of idol. Now, the New Testament talks about this, even the Lord Jesus. Okay? You know, there's one place he used the, or more than one place, he used the word idle words, right? Idle words. That means unworking words. That means words that does not work. That means vain words. That means worthless words. And it says, those of us who use these words, one day we will be judged. We'll have to give an account according to these idle words that we've spoken. Okay? That is the same word. But more importantly, in the parable in Matthew 20, is a parable about the man who had the vineyard, right? And then he found out there's all kinds of people outside the vineyard standing idle. That's the word, standing idle. Time after time, it started with today's clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. Actually, that illustrates the various ages in the church history, okay? In the New Testament church history. But anyway, it talks about people standing idle outside of the vineyard. Outside of the vineyard. And the man just called them time and time again to come into the vineyard to what? To work. To work in the vineyard. Now, the vineyard refers to the kingdom. Okay? This is in Matthew. And it says these people who are outside of the vineyard are standing idle. What's the point? The point is this. The point is that if you are not working in the kingdom, right, in the kingdom of God, then in God's eyes, you are standing idle. Now think about that for a minute. Let me put it another way. Outside of God's kingdom, and bear in mind, the kingdom today in practicality is the church life. All right? Is the church life. So outside of the church life, or the kingdom of God, no human beings are employed. Do you get it? So today, you may be working hard in the secular world. You're not idle at all. You are very, very busy, right? Doing a job and all of that. I don't mean anything bad or sinful. You're just busy making a living. You're busy, you know, doing things. But you are not working in God's kingdom. You are not working in the church life or serving in the church life. Then in God's eyes, you are standing idle. You are not working, unworking. You are inoperative. You are useless. You are unprofitable. As far as God is concerned, as far as God's economy is concerned, you are... You're vain. You're living a vain life. You're having a worthless existence. That's what it means. And brothers and sisters, I speak this, of course, with a burden here, and that is at your age, dear brothers and sisters. It's time to get into the vineyard. It's time to be working in the kingdom of God. Then in God's eyes, you're not idle. You are useful. You are profitable to the master. You're operative. You are doing a positive function, you see, to advance the kingdom of God. This is a very serious matter, brothers and sisters. Very, very serious matter. Now is the time to get into the kingdom. Now is the time to serve in the church. And I tell you, this vineyard, it says, is full of work to do, full of needs, full of needs. You know, in God's eye, you look. He looks down at the globe, billions of people sweating, laboring, doing things. But in His eyes, as far as the kingdom, all are standing idle. All are going nowhere, because they are all are unoccupied and unemployed. Okay, you saints, don't be idle. Oh, and you know what? Idleness is a killer. When you're idle, you know, even humanly speaking, all kinds of temptation comes to you. And all kinds of bad things will creep up on you, because you have nothing to do. Okay? If you don't have job, you don't have school, you don't have nothing to do, what will you be doing, Dennis? You'll be up to no good in no time. Am I right? Am I right? You have to fill your mind with something. You have to do something. So you fill your mind and you with all kinds of sinful things, worldly things. Am I right? That's what happens when you're idle. Spiritually, it is the same. When we are idle in the service to the Lord, I tell you, all kinds of unhealthy things will come and occupy us. Eventually, that idleness will kill us. Will kill us. And I tell you, I've seen that. I've seen that. Some people ask me, Minoru, how do you tell us the secret? How do you preserve yourself or keep yourself in the church life all these years? You know, this is February 1968, right? This is my 40th anniversary of touching the church. Right, that's a pretty long time, you know, like the children of Israel, right? 40 years, okay? And then people ask, how do you keep yourself all these 40 years, you're still, you know what I mean? Sometimes I think, you know, I can give you all kinds of spiritual answers. This, that. Tonight I want to give you a particular answer. You know how I keep myself here? All these 40 years, I kept myself super busy in the vineyard.
Amen.
You agree with me?
Amen.
I mean, we would train from day one to go to meeting every night. That was not like, whoa, wow, how can you do it? I mean, to us, it's like meat and potatoes, you know? It's like bread and butter. We don't think twice. Our time are just filled with the church. Whenever I'm not studying or doing a project, that I was still in USC doing my studying, this is, you know, in the early days. Whenever, if I'm not doing the school thing, which I have to do, you know, I am in the church doing all kinds of things. I mean, my time is just filled up. If you want to invite me to any place, I have no time. And so I got saved from the temptation of those things. This is a most practical salvation. It's really true. I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to have all your time occupied by kingdom matters, by the church, by the Lord's things, by the Lord's needs. I tell you, you'll be saved. You will not be idle. You will not be constituted idle. You know, here it says, we will not be constituted idols. Means the idleness eventually becomes our constitution. It becomes part of us. to be idle. Okay? Now, the second point is unfruitful. Unfruitful. Some of us, we say, well, unfruitful. Okay, so what? No big deal, unfruitful. Well, in the context of this sharing, which is about the kingdom of God, or entering into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the heavens, to be unfruitful is a very, very serious thing. Now, I will just tell you that in the New Testament, just loads of verses about bearing fruit. Loads of verses about bearing fruit. Okay? You know, we have to bear fruit to sanctification. We have to bear fruit to God. Even it says we have to bear fruit to God. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which we have to bear. It talks about the fruit of light. I'm just reading some selection of verses. The fruit of our work. You have to bear fruit in every good work. The fruit of righteousness. I mean, God expects fruit. God expects fruit from all of us. Fruitfulness is not optional. Fruitfulness is what God expects when He sowed the seed of life into all of us to bear fruit. The whole Christian life is about fruit bearing. And today, all we're doing day and night is to bear fruit and more fruit. Fruit this way, fruit that way, this kind of fruit, that kind of fruit. You know, all these virtues that we're talking about here in Peter, they're all fruits. Because in Galatians, they're all called the fruit of the Spirit. But you have to bear them. You have to bear this fruit. And God expects you to bear this fruit. Oh, knowledge. And then what? Self-control. And then what? Endurance. And then godliness. And then brotherly love and love. All these things are fruit that we're supposed to bear as we grow in life, you see? As we grow in life. And then, besides these virtues, there's another kind of fruit that God expects us to bear, and that is in John 15, and that is persons as fruit. Persons as fruit. That means preaching the gospel, saving people, shepherding people, raising up people, building people up into members of the body. All this fruit, God also is after. God is also after. But, brothers and sisters, it is very possible that instead of that, we are constituted fruitless, unfruitful. It becomes not just a matter of an act, it becomes the element within us. It becomes part of our constitution is to be unfruitful. Dear saints, tonight I just feel to share this with you, right? So that the picture is clear. The picture is clear. To be idle is to be unemployed, right? To be fruitless means we have nothing in return to God for what He has done, for what He has invested in us, for what He has sown into us. He has no return. He has nothing. And, you know, do you remember the Lord cursed the fig tree? Is that right? Mm-hmm. That fig tree representing Israel? Mm-hmm. There's no fruit. The Lord cursed that tree, and the next day it withered. That refers to the nation of Israel, not bearing fruit to God. And God is forced to go to another people, and that is the church. Dear saints, to be fruitless is very, very serious. it would mean cutting off from the vine. It would mean drying up. This is what happens. Now, tonight, I'd like to mention something here, okay? All right? Still in this portion of word that we read. I want to impress upon you that God has given us everything that we need to not be idle and not be fruitless. And I will mention five things in these previous verses in chapter 1 that he has given to us. He has given to you already, brothers and sisters. So you say amen when I cite these five things, right?
Amen.
Okay. Number one, he has already allotted to all of us equally precious faith.
Amen.
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 I mean, he has done it. This is a gigantic seed he's sown into us. I mean, everything you need is in this precious faith. We have it.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, don't say, I cannot, I have not. You have it all. And that's just the first one. The second thing, through the divine power, he has granted us all things related to life and godliness.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That means all the genetic code, all the DNA, all the genes, all the things pertaining to life within and godliness without have been granted to us.
Amen.
We have that grant already. We have it in us.
Amen.
We do. We have it. Do you believe it?
Amen.
And number three, he has called us by his glory and virtue.
Amen.
He has called us by his glory and virtue. He has done it already. And number four, he has granted us precious and exceedingly great promises. I mean, he has given us the word,
Amen.
The truth, and all the scriptural and all the promises in it. We have it. My goodness, brothers and sisters, you know how rich we are?
Amen.
I mean, God is not just telling us, do this, do that, don't be idle, be fruitful, and leave you to yourself. I mean, he has invested himself as all these things into us.
Amen.
We have it.
Amen.
We just need to tap into it
and
enjoy it.
Amen.
See,
Amen.
And I'll get to that. Okay, last thing, this is the fifth thing, that through these things, we can even become partakers of the divine nature. That means he has given to us his divine nature.
Amen.
So that you can partake of it.
Amen.
Oh my, I just don't know what to say. We have the faith. We have the things related to life and godliness. We have the calling. We have the promises. We have the divine nature. Oh my. We have it all. Now, brothers, here's the key. Francis says, here's the key. How come some are bearing fruit and not idle? And some others, year after year, idle and fruitless. Why? What's the difference? Okay, I'm going to tell you the difference. There are five things on the other column. The first column is God. God doing all these five things to us. Now I'm going to give you another on the right hand side, another column of five things that would determine whether these things will work in you. Okay? And this side is the side of the believer's cooperation. And this is my burden. My burden. Our cooperation. He has done it all. Our cooperation now is pivotal. It makes a difference. Okay, I'm going to tell you what five things we have to cooperate with the Lord in. To be occupied and to be fruitful, right? Okay, number one, it says, add. These are all things we have to do. Add all diligence. Now he has given all these things to you. Now you add, you know, add water. You know what I mean? Add. You have this Rayman, is it Rayman? 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 What do you call it? This
ramen.
Japanese ramen. Okay, whatever it is. It says what? It's all there, right? It's all there. Add hot boiling water, right? Add. If you don't add, you can't eat it. It's all the good stuff is not. Add water. You have to add diligence. This is consistent in the New Testament. Paul, Peter, it talks about add diligence. You know, brothers and sisters, you're all diligent people at work. You know, your job, your this and that. But somehow, when it comes to spiritual things, we just don't have no diligence. We just have this idea of a miracle. You know, God did it all and he will do it all. No, God won't do it all. You have to add something. We all have to be diligent in the spiritual things of the Lord, in the church life. Be diligent, add diligence. Number two, it says you have to supply bountifully these things. Yes, the Spirit bountifully supply, but now here it talks about you have to supply. You have to supply. I can testify to you all these 40 years in my church life, by the Lord's mercy, looking back, it was just adding diligence. Year after year, day after day, just adding diligence. You know, diligent to do what? Come to the meeting. I mean, that takes diligence. I just diligent. Never miss meeting. I just come to, when there's a meeting, I'm there. I'm diligent to speak in the meeting. Whenever there's a meeting, I speak. I'm diligent to read the Bible. I add. The Bible is there, but it's sitting in the bookshelf. It's doing me no good. I have to add water. I have to add diligence. Read the Bible. And I have to be diligent to pray. To pray. I'm diligent to preach the gospel. You say, my goodness, just listening to you talk just tires me out. I don't know this kind of church life. I thank you very much. I don't need this kind of church life. I just come on Sunday, sit in the back, give in my contribution, and praise the Lord. Well, if you're doing that, let me tell you, you may be good member for the denominations. But for the kingdom of God, you are idle and unfruitful. If I'm your age, I tell you, I am there in every meeting on the front row, like this, for 40 years.
Amen.
40 years! I never slipped back to row two. Isn't that a miracle? Oh, God did a great miracle on this man? No, that was not a miracle. I added that.
Amen.
I added that. I determined. That's it. Whoa, you say, Minoru, you're so proud. Oh, your addition did it. How about God's mercy? Bible says it's not of him who run, not of him who will. God who shows mercy. That's why I'm not running. That's why I'm not willing, because it doesn't work. I tell you, you're misquoting that. You are excusing yourself using the scriptures. You're cheating God. You're misquoting him. Not like this. This is not the church life I know. The glorious church life I know requires me adding.
Amen.
Adding. Right? I can speak for my wife, Vicky. Adding. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes with tears. Sometimes it's dying to the soul life. Sometimes I have to debt to my convenience. Sometimes I have to give up the world. I add. I tell you, the fruit comes. And I'm occupied. I long for this for your generation. Because you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. And you should do this. with, you know, tonight we sang the song, right? I asked the brothers to sing 101. 101, you go home and sing that. Talk about seeing the cross, the Lord on the cross, something like this. Just cause you to count everything as loss, right? Something like this, as dung or something like that, as loss. And cause us to resolve to live to Him, to die to the world. Brothers and sisters, I mean, if we really love the Lord and see the dying Savior, that's how we would live. I don't know any other way to live. Maybe I totally am mistaken. Maybe I just wasted my whole life. And at my age, it's a little late to change course, to change career. You know what I mean? I'm done. If I have done something wrong, I am finished. This whole life is wasted. But I tell you, I have a little assurance in me. I didn't throw my life away. I think I did the right thing. You should too, brothers and sisters. You can too, and the time is now. All right. The second is supplied bountifully. Number three. It says what? This is Peter. He says, be more diligent. He just didn't say add diligence. He had to repeat it. Be more diligent. My. It's in those verses after verse 8. Be more diligent. Saints, just when you're about to give up, be more diligent. You say, how can I be diligent? Well, don't forget those five wonderful things He gave you. Amen. I mean, it's all there for you to take. Just plug in, and the supply will be there for you to be diligent. Amen. Be more diligent. In fact, when others are less diligent, I became more diligent. When others come late to the meeting, I come earlier to the meeting. You know? When others won't pray, I pray the more. Be more diligent. That's what I know. This is the spiritual life and the church life that I know. Number four, it says what? It says doing these things. You know, he has that verse. Peter says, doing these things. Peter didn't say, life will do it. You know, as is often quoted among young people today, life will do it. Well, I have good news for you. Life won't do it. You do it. Doing these things. Actually, what you are doing, you are cooperating with that life. That's what you're doing. Number five, it says, there's a verse, that's a phrase that says, being short-sighted and having forgotten the cleansing of the sin. I reverse that. That means what? That is not neglecting, not forgetting our initial salvation. Brothers and sisters, all too often in the daily hustle bustle, we just forgot why we're here. We just totally forgot who got us here, who saved us, who will cleanse your sin. He's totally forgot. He's just, there's nowhere in sight. You're just existing, doing your job, doing your thing. Just who saved you? Just to whom do you owe everything? To whom are you obligated? It's the Lord. And you forgot about it. You forgot about it. Even you forgot how you were saved. You forgot how the Lord plucked you out of fire, like a brand out of a fire. You forgot how the Lord extended mercy on you. You forgot about all that. You just neglected all of that, those wonderful things the Lord did, and you just live in the present. Short-sighted, that word short-sighted means what? Actually means blind. It literally means the closing of the eyes. It means you're really blind. You just, all you see is, my job today, You have no memory of your initial salvation, and you have no view of the entrance into the kingdom. You are just like this, blind. You know, extreme short-sightedness is blindness. So I share this with you, dear saints, is we knowing that we have received so much, we need to give these things the utmost cooperation. Amen. Oh, and by doing this, it says we will not be constituted idle or unfruitful. And further, later on it says, by doing this, we will be supply a rich entrance into the kingdom. Now, I will end in this way tonight. Okay. This ends to carry out these things that I'm talking about. All right. Number one, we all need to have a recall. Recall. Remember. Of the vision, that experience, and experience that you saw and that you received from the Lord. We all have that. We won't be sitting here if we don't have that. Many of you who are FTTA graduates, recall. Recall back in those 2 years what you saw, what you experienced. Recall how the Lord saved you. Recall how the Lord called you. It's good to recall, let me tell you. You know, without a past, we don't have a future. If we don't remember history, we'll always repeat, right? They say something like that. In other words, if we don't remember these things, there's a risk, right? We will go on blindly. In fact, sometime you should take a little time just to recall. Just to go sit there. Go to Starbucks and don't read a book. Go to Starbucks and recall. While you're sipping some coffee or whatever you're doing. Recall. Lord, this is how you saved me. You know, I do this. I really. That's when I came into the church. This is what you did. And this is in that meeting. This is the vision you show me that captured me. And subsequently, the environment changed, and I experienced you in this way. My, the more you recall, the more you just feel, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm here not by mistake. This is no accident. You know, my mom, my parents, my environment, nothing is an accident that I ended up here. Lord, you know, recall. You know, brush up those old photos. Look back to how you were gained. Revisit the vision. Okay. The second thing I would say, respond. Respond. Respond to what? Response to the Lord's calling. The Lord's new attraction as attracting you. The Lord's speaking. The Lord's commissioning. I would say even tonight, if this word is alive to you, this word is calling. This word is commissioning. Respond to this. Oh, it's so sad. It is so sad that if we get into a state where we lost our response, we have no more response to the Lord. That is a terrible, terrible, unmoved, unmovable, without feeling. That is a terrible condition. Number three, renew. Renew. Renew what? Dear saints, let us renew our commitment, our consecration, our vows to the Lord. Let us do this. Amen.
Amen.
We should do it in a new way, okay? I feel even after this sharing tonight, we should do it. We should go home and do it. Renew. The next point, receive. You say receive, what? Well, receive grace. Receive the abundance of grace. Receive all these wonderful things that have been given to you. Just receive. They're available. Don't excuse yourself. I don't have it. No. Why don't you receive it? It's there. The next point I would say is resolve. Resolve. That means have a fixity of purpose, have a firmness of resolve. You know, friends and sisters, the Lord made us with a will, okay? The Lord made us all with a will. Sooner or later, you'll find out the will actually is the most important part of your soul in your pursuit of the Lord and cooperation with Him. The emotion, you know, up, down. The mind, you know, the reason this way or that way. I tell you, that will, okay? 40 years ago, I decided to take this way of the Lord's recovery. Not just to be a Christian, but to be a Christian in the Lord's way, the Lord's recovery. 40 years ago. And 40 years ago, I determine. I make a firm decision. I knew what I was doing. A lifetime decision I made. In these 40 years, I was up, I was down, I was not always strong, I got weak. All kinds of things happened in these 40 years. But brothers and sisters, I'd like to give you a testimony. That resolve worked. I know a lot of us would say, oh, human determination is not trustworthy. In a way, it is not. But tonight, I would like to change that. Your will works. Your will works. You have to settle certain matters in your being. And your will takes over. Otherwise, you're always up and down. You're always up and down. Should I leave the church? Should I not? I better pray about it. I tell you, if you have made a resolution, you don't even pray about those kind of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand, right? Because that decision was made 20 years ago. It's done. Finish. Case closed. You don't dig it out again. That's resolve. Certain things, brothers and sisters, the problem is we are without resolve. So the thing is left to change. We're going to blow by the wind. I'd like to challenge all of you saints to resolve to follow the Lord. Amen. To resolve to what? Give your whole life to the Lord's recovery. To resolve to serve the Lord in the church. Amen. To resolve to read the Bible. How about that? How about that? I'm going to read the Bible and finish reading the Bible. I resolve to speak in the meeting and prophesy. I just resolve. That's it. Done. Settle. Decision made. That kind of resolution. I tell you, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, I will sit down here. You say, just how do I implement these things, practice these things. Okay. Firstly, these days the church is very much into the truth, right? Right? The pursuit of the truth. You can right away apply what I'm talking about on that. On that. That is on the study of the word, on the pursuit of the truth, right? That's just one example. You can make the decision that what? That you will what? Contact the Lord every morning. Your so-called morning revival, right? contact the Lord every morning and live a life unto the Lord. You just resolve to do that. You resolve to what? To be in the church meetings. And not only be in the church meeting, function and strengthen those meetings. You resolve to what? To, give certain time to what? To contact the new ones. Or to shepherd some young ones. You resolve doing that. You resolve to what? To bear up some burden, practical burden of service in the church life. And there are abundant opportunities. You just do that faithfully. All these things are very, very practical ways for us to what? To not be idle and be fruitful. Now, I know tonight what I'm saying is a lot and also somewhat general. I know that. I hope, however, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Amen. And that in the coming days and through all kinds of ways, the Lord would supply us with more help, more direction, and more even mutuality, right, that we can go on together. Amen. How about this?
Amen.
Is this word so heavy that what do you think?
Amen.
Okay, I think I will just stop here. How about we use a little time for you to share something? We ought to respond to this a little bit.
Time is short, so I have to say something. I know I'm taking a lot of time, but these occasions are rare. And that word on resolve, comes from the word Judges. Huh? You know, Judges, chapter 5, on the Song of Deborah. You know Deborah? He says, among the divisions of Reuben, they have great, first of all, great searchings of the heart. Then it says, among the divisions of Reuben, there is great resolutions of heart. Firstly, great searching, and then the great resolution. So that is where the word resolve comes from. And, brothers and sisters, it is not a small thing to God when one of his children make a resolution in his presence. Amen. I must tell you that. Don't think about, can I make it? Can I keep my promise? Will I be faithful? Just forget about all of that. To make a resolution seriously, solemnly before God is a very serious thing to us and to God. It means a lot to the Lord whether a person make resolution or not. Or is he wishy-washy? The Lord, even how the Lord will grace this person and supply this person to make it, depends on that resolution. If we're wishy-washy, it's hard even for the Lord to work within us. He only works with those who have a will bent towards him,
amen,
aligned with him.
Amen.
You see, our need, we cannot depend on our will. Amen. Of course. Only the Lord can see us through. Amen. But I tell you, that decision gives the Lord the ground to take us through.
Amen.
So let us take away this excuse. It's really just an excuse of what? Of the Lord's mercy, the Lord's life, and all of this. All those are present, but the one who turned that key to make the engine run is still our will. The exercise of our will, which leads to the exercise of our spirit of power. You know, that's in Timothy, right? So, brothers and sisters, do that. Have a strong will to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Just say that. Just tell the Lord that. The Lord will do something. The Lord will will do something in your life. Okay. The other thing I want to say is this, and that is, we're not talking this way to say, oh, you all have to quit your job and go full time. No, 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 we're not talking about that. Or now you have to, you know, read Bible 3 hours a day. No, we're not talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about within your present life, your job, your career, your parenthood, all these things that requires time that you should do, that you're doing, it's okay. These are legitimate things. In fact, you have to do a good job at it. We're not talking about that. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about in doing all these things, you would what? You would determine to have your life scheduled and budgeted in such a way that is good for the Lord's purpose.
Amen.
While I'm doing this career, while I'm raising up these children, while I'm doing all these things in my daily life and in by necessity, I do it with a view unto Him. I plan my schedule. I schedule my daily life. I budget my energy, my finance, my time in a way that is best for the church life.
Yeah.
You see the point? That I can have a 40-hour job. You can have a 40-hour job. But the way I plan my life is not good for the church. But the way you plan your life, we have the same amount of time, is good for the church. There, that's the difference. There's a difference. So, brothers and sisters, we owe the Lord everything, don't we?
Amen.
Let us plan our life around Him.
Amen.
Let us plan our life around the church.
Amen.
You can still do a good job at your job. You can still be a good worker. You can still be a good mother. You can still do all of that. Trust me. It really is how you plan in things. Now, on that matter, I would like to give us something practical, leaving this meeting with something practical, okay? He's saying, I think we need another session some other time just to talk about scheduling and budgeting, because that determines so, so much. In the end, it's really nothing miracle. Brotherly used the word miraculously normal life, right?
Right.
We're here just to live a normal life, but yet so divine, right? That's what we're talking about. But that is so much to do with how you budget things and schedule things, because without a budget and schedule, which means planning, we tend to waste time,
right,
squander away opportunity,
right,
that can be so much for the Lord. So I would like to say these few things. Brothers and sisters, how about this age group? We determine that we will get up in the morning to contact the Lord.
Amen.
How about that? How about we just start there, huh?
Amen.
We will just contact the Lord. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we just rise up and touch the Lord every day.
Amen.
Dear saints, even this is a big deal in our giving ourselves to serve the Lord. Okay, that's number one. Number two, how about just follow the church's leading in these days to read the two life study messages in Genesis. And the what? The recovery version along the lines, you can have your own schedule or the schedule of the church. Just read the recovery version. Just follow the church. I tell you, the blessing comes when you follow the church.
Amen.
Don't do something funny here, something unique here. I'm very unique. You don't need to be unique. None of us need. We just follow the footsteps of the flock.
Amen.
And just do that. Just do those two things regularly. Okay? Number three. Find one or two to be your companions. For accountability, for mutual support, for reminding one another, for even for two or three, so that once a week at least, you will be on the phone or you will come together to pray and to touch some of these things that you are that we are talking about, this matter of the truth and so on. Eventually, a lot more things can happen. But how about find you just one lunchtime? We can do it. Just 1 hour here, you can do it. You know. These days, I'm very much on the TV. You know, I'm very much fighting the TV. You know that what do you call it? The remote. Ah, my goodness. Me too. I'm not stronger than you, by the way. Okay, you put me in a room. There's only a TV there with a remote. I think I know what I'll be doing. Okay, I'm the same as you. I'm not stronger, better. But I'm making a point that how much time between the television and today all those channels and the internet with all those even more sites, just these two things. How much time? You just start, go home and write it down, and how much time these things have taken up in your life. Mm-hmm. I think there's at least 1 hour there somewhere that you don't have to do that, and you won't, your life will not become miserable, okay? But that 1 hour you can be with one or two others to pray.
Amen.
To read the word. Amen. And you know what? You become a lot more spiritually healthier.
Amen.
Just by doing that. You're saying, this is not no big deal. You don't need to quit your job and go full time. Just in your present circumstance, Amen. There's so much you can do if you live unto the Lord.
Amen.
And you resolve to do this, and you have a plan, which means scheduling and budgeting your life to do these things. These things, this makes our consecration most practical.
Amen.
We're not just talking here about consecration. This is the way for us to go on. Okay?
Amen.
All right. How about we now just have some prayer with those next to us? Okay?
Amen.